All right, guys, I got a special treat for you today. Today I have one of my favorite people in general. Just be straight about that. And then also one of the best and most well-known sex experts in the country. Maybe actually you're worldwide now. I've heard. So that's good. So in the world, and his name is Alex Allman. Alex, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be here with us. This is awesome.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I am global, baby.
Global. This man is global. So Alex has a several special skill sets, but one in particular is what I'm really interested in and excited about, and that is he is a master of teaching guys how to be gods in bed. Just amazing sex coach, and he's turned men completely around, done 180s with men, and no doubt save relationships. Alex, you never really brag about all your success stories with me, at least. But I know that you have, because I've heard through other people, you know, saving relationships, marriages. But besides that, also turning guys who are kind of insecure or not really confident in bed, and to have the confidence to be able to go approach women and talk to them and bring them back home, because now they're not scared when they get there. They're going to turn these women completely off and totally blow it. So it was a huge hurdle for me to learn this part, because during this process, of course, I want to know the stuff that you have to teach and stuff that other guys out there were telling me they could teach whenever I was first studying this stuff. But I was a little bit scared to sort of open this box and try to really shuffle around the parts and figure out what was right and what was wrong. Because if you screw up once in the bedroom, you're kind of done for a while. So there's a lot of scary parts, I think, for a lot of guys. So
I can shake your confidence.
Right, exactly. And I've had that happen to me before. I think hearing that you're a bad lover is, it only takes once before you're like, okay, I need to fix this crap right now, you know? So, Alex, I have lots of questions for you, but my first question is a question that I kind of ask often whenever I'm interviewing someone, and that is, why? Like, why? How did you come across this? How did you get into this? Like, what drove you to the place where you were like, look, I gotta get this shit figured out, and then what allowed you to be such a master at it? And really truly learn what you know now and become the man that, you know, the Alex Allman that the world knows and trusts for sex advice.
It's interesting that you say that I don't brag about my successes in this area.
Not with me, at least.
Somehow, I think about all the time that we've spent together and hanging out at the farmer's market and yakking, and I can't believe that I've never bent your ear. When I get on the subject, I stay on it for a long time.
Right.
I am enormously, ridiculously proud of being able to create this in other people's lives and to kind of be able to look somebody in the eye in a social situation and say, yeah, I make my living by helping people have more satisfying sex lives and helping loving partners have, you know, great sex and pleasure, which is really the glue in relationships. And so I coach a lot of people, not just single guys like we're doing today, but a lot of married guys and a lot of married women, a lot of couples. And it's been unbelievable. And so when you ask how I got started in this, part of the way that I got started in this is that I had already been doing an enormous amount of coaching in this area before I wrote my book.
Right.
And I was also a writer at the time. I had written a lot of articles, and I was writing a lot of articles about sex, which you know, it's everybody's favorite subject to talk about, but I don't know how many people actually then, you know, go out and research it. And I had read all the books. I had, you know, gone to workshops with sexual shamans and tantra teachers. I mean, I was just really, really interested. And I've always been interested in intimacy and the way humans give each other pleasure and kind of communicate in this very intimate way without words, but through touch. It's very super primal, and it's just something that's always been a huge source of satisfaction in my life, and also just something I've been endlessly, endlessly curious about. So I was writing a bunch of articles about it, and our good friend, Eben Pagan / David D'Angelo, was out to lunch with me one day. And I was kind of complaining about the fact that I was broke, as I was always broke, as writers frequently are. And he said to me, you know, Alex, I know a lot of people who are a lot, you know, less smart than you are, who make a lot more money than you do. I don't understand why you haven't taken this sex advice that you do, made it into a book. And that's really when I started doing it professionally. right. is after when, I wrote my book. I mean, once you write a book on something, then you really need to put up or shut up. Mm-hmm. That's when people, you know, assume you're supposed to have the chops.
Right.
And so I went, I wrote a book, and really it was because of this moment when Eben said to me, slash David D'Angelo said to me, you know, the stuff that you're writing, I've never seen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been coaching men, you know, he had already been coaching men for 7 years as David D'Angelo. And he said, I've never seen any of the stuff that you talk about. And I know that a lot of guys in my own programs are really, really interested in getting this part of their lives on lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I think that you'd be doing a big service. And I really felt it. I felt the calling. I really felt that I could make a difference in people's lives. And I fucking brag about it.
That's amazing. So you had someone like David D'Angelo step in and sort of have a come to Jesus speech with you to tell you
exactly a come to Jesus speech.
You know, to tell you that you have to give other guys this information. That's how much you know about it and how much you've actually, I know you would probably not take this term very lightly, but mastered, you know, let's just, you know, I know that you're always growing and always learning because that's just who you are. But, you know, mastered in comparison to probably the majority of 99.9 repeating percent of people in the world, you know, this area of interaction. And it's something that I don't teach. I've chosen not to teach it. I just, I don't know enough about it really to be able to teach it. Like I know people like, other people can teach it, but specifically, your entire life, and knowing you, Alex, your whole life sort of embodies this idea that you're completely comfortable in your sexuality. I've never seen you get nervous about anything sexual ever. Like if I made a joke or something, you always push it further, you know? I mean, it's like, I've never seen you flinch or wince or anything. And I know that comes from a place of strong inner confidence. And that is something that women find extremely, extremely attractive in a man, that when they go there, women will test you by going to a sexual place to see if you're man enough to take it there, you know? And what most guys do is they will back off. They're kind of scared, or they giggle, or they laugh, you know, something that sort of breaks the tension. And I've never met a man that leans in attention more than you do. And I'm sure that David D'Angelo saw that in you and more. And that's why he compelled you and really said, hey, look, you really need to do this because the world needs this. And that's another reason why I'm so ecstatic to get you on an interview with me, because I know that you don't have a whole lot of time, and you know, your advice is so powerful that the short time we do get to spend together, I think, will be life changing for everyone who's listening. So, enough of me blowing smoke up your ass here, I guess.
Yeah, let's jump into it. I know you've probably got some questions you want to ask. Maybe mm-hmm. just bookmark this, dog ear it for return. I'd love to talk about.
Sure.
But you really covered what I think is a really fertile area to talk about that could really help men with their sexual skills and really learn to become a more masterful lover, mm-hmm. is this entire idea of where women test men in terms of conversationally sexually, but also in terms of sexually itself. I mean, that testing, and like all testing, it's not conscious, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you
right.
teach that to
right.
men. Yeah, they're not actually trying to test you, but sexual testing is a really, really big thing. And failing those tests gets you cheated on, it gets you broken up with. And what's interesting about this stuff is women aren't aware that they're testing, and they're also not aware that that's the reason that they're cheating or breaking up with a man.
Right.
That, you know, a lot of this stuff is happening below conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is a really interesting area to dig into, because what happens is, you know, the human brain is split up into different parts. And the part that, you know, we interact with other humans, we're always interacting kind of from the cerebral cortex, which controls things like communication, logical thought. I mean, not just words, but being able to string a bunch of words together and then make that make sense, that there's some kind of causality and, you know, these words really have a meaning, an entirety that,
right.
that I can follow the thread of. I mean, all that stuff, that's highly complex shit that animals can't do. It all happens in the cerebral cortex.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of attraction and the stuff that you teach, and then even more so, I mean, that stuff, you know, in the mammalian brain, which does not understand language, it has no words live there,
mm-hmm.
it understands emotion and feelings,
mm-hmm.
and that's a different level of communication. And then down a level beneath attraction to sex, to the drive to fuck and to experience pleasure. Mm-hmm. And that stuff, which is even below that, is all the way, you know, down in the reptilian brain, that need for sex. Mm-hmm. And being able to tap into that with a woman so she's feeling that I've got to have this.
Right.
And that stuff creates its own little realities, and it has its own little needs. And what it does is it says, you know, is this guy, you know, the guy I want to mate with? And to find that out, I'm going to need to launch a little test here. And then what it does is it sneaks up down the dark hallway. And when you're not looking, like the movie Inception, it sticks an idea in your brain. And then that idea, you then rationalize, you make it make sense. The cerebral cortex part makes it make sense, so that she says, oh yeah, you know, I left him because, you know, I just wasn't feeling it. And, you know, and she can put it into words. There's all these words around why she left him that sound very good to her friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the truth was that this message came up through the dark hallway. Mm-hmm. And like Inception, the idea was implanted up at the top where she could see it. And then it goes, the little thing that stuck the idea there runs back down, hides behind the door, and covers its tracks. And we never really see that actually this came from someplace really primal.
Right.
Really primal. And that's why, you know, everybody wants to say, maybe I'm yammering on too much about this.
No, no.
But a lot of people, you know, men who've been cheated on will say, well, you know, that's horrible. And, you know, God, you know, anybody who would cheat, and she's a bimbo, and women can't be trusted, and yak, yak. And of course, you talk to women, you'll get the exact opposite story. You know, men, they just crave variety. So of course they're going to cheat and they'll lie and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, people who are cheaters or who go to like, what's that, that website for cheaters, you know?
Ashley Madison.
Yeah, Ashley Madison. Mm-hmm. People who do that are, you know, they're terrible, they're immoral. And it's really easy to say that the woman that cheated on you was horrible, or that women that cheat are horrible. And of course, we've all been hurt. That makes a certain amount of sense. But what you have to then also validate is we all also have dear friends who we love, who we respect and admire, who are heartful, wonderful, honest, loyal friends, like amazing people who we know cheated.
Right.
We know that they cheated, and that shit doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is there's something more primal at play. And until you master the understanding of her primal nature, of really opening her to fully surrendered orgasm, to really, you know, rip her reality apart, that primal beast is not satisfied. It's not sure. And it's, of course, you know, it's the same for men.
Right.
It's the same for men. You know, every man thinks, I think it was Dennis Rodman was dating, I don't know, Sheila E. or some famous model. And somebody was asking about it in an interview. And he said, you know, you show me any beautiful woman in the world and I'll show you a guy that's bored with fucking her.
Right.
You know? So it's men too, right? And so there's also not just a question of being able to like rip her open, but rip yourself open as well to get to your most basic, most powerful, like, you know, the things that you're ashamed of, to really get all those fucking needs met, to really get them met and really have the most powerful sexual experience with your partner. And that changes things. It's not something that, you know, I mean, you won't ever see it in pornography, right? You won't ever witness it firsthand in all likelihood. So you have no reason to know it exists.
That's really interesting that that when you're sort of talking about this ripping open of that primal self and letting those primal desires out, not even just primal, but you're saying reptilian desires. Like, I think I should clarify, because you and I have conversations like this, and I forget that sometimes, you know, the rest of the world doesn't think in exactly the same terms as we do. But there are three different layers to your brain. There are lots of different layers to your brain, but there's three different major processing layers. The outer layer is your cerebral brain. You're kind of I'll just say outer for an easy description. You're sort of a logical, action oriented communication brain. Then underneath that is your mammalian brain, your emotional nurturing kind of brain. And then underneath that at the core is your reptilian brain. which is your not primal, because primal, I guess, is technically mammalian, but very visceral. Everything is very visceral. The need to fight and fuck and, you know, that's it, basically, and eat. Those things are all in that reptilian brain, you know. And so I think that what's really interesting right now is you're talking about opening up this reptilian part of you and opening up these reptilian desires. You know, for me, being in a relationship, that's just like listening to a bell ring. That's very clear for me, you know, the idea of, all right, let's open these desires and everything. But for being single, my natural thought is to go, well, how do I allow a woman? Now, my initial thought would probably be, how do I get a woman to, you know, do something? But really what I mean is, how do you allow the woman that you're with, that you just met, to open up her desires? Is it different than if you're in a relationship, or is it all the same? And how is it the same, and how do you get someone to open up like that? Of course, I would guess that you'd have to open up yourself definitely first to at least some certain things. But what would be your response to that?
Yeah, let me dive into that. But yeah, primal, by the way, all the way at the reptilian. It's primal primary.
Okay.
You know, not primal primate. I mean, really, at the bottom. And okay. I don't you know, want to correct you on your own show.
The reason I bring it
is because the word primal is the one I like using. I think it connects with people. They really get what I'm talking about because it is primal. It is primary. It is that which is first. It's really down there at the bottom of you, because you know you'll change all through your life. And you're a different man in relationship than you are when you're single. And you're a different man hanging out with your, you know, parents than you are with your employee, or with the cop writing you a ticket, or with the most beautiful girl you've ever seen standing there looking at you in a bar and smiling, right? And each of these things will call forth different aspects of yourself. Mm-hmm. And over time, you'll change. But primal does not change. It is that which is before. It's first. You know, you can hide it. You can pretend. You can hide it so well that you can even pretend from yourself that it doesn't exist. And we see a lot of people like that who are just completely repressed. But it is in there. It is unchangeable. It is immutable. And, you know, learning how to master that energy is a whole beautiful part of growing into your sexual life. So and the reason that I laid all that down was to directly answer your question. No, it's no different.
Okay.
It's no different with somebody that you just met and somebody you've been married to for 30 years. I coach these people exactly the same way when it comes to this sexual part. Obviously, relationship management and that kind of thing is different, and being surrendered in love is a different thing. I mean, you know, I'm not pulling the whole enchilada out of this, but connecting with somebody human to human, I'll tell you, you can give a woman the most profound sexual experience of her life. And in fact, if you want to do a little experiment, guy listening to this, and talk to some of your close female friends who you're intimate with and who you really, you know, have a strong relationship with, and you talk to them about the best sexual experience of their lives, you talk to 10 women, you'll find at least one or two of them who say that the best sexual experience of their life was some guy who they never saw again,
right,
or who they, you know, had a brief fling with while they were away on some tropical island on vacation, mm-hmm, named Alex. No.
I'm keeping Kelsey away from you.
but the possibility is always there that she doesn't even have to know your name,
right,
and you can give her the most powerful sexual experience of her life if you are that man who can open her and take her past and further. So, you know, why, how, just to kind of keep the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. For women, really deep sexual surrender, really powerful orgasms can be scary. And there are women who, you know, we've all dated, who I like to refer to as kind of sexual bungee jumpers, who they're comfortable with having orgasms and big orgasms. And, you know, within 60 seconds of fucking her, she can be screaming her head off having multiple orgasms. She knows how to take care of her own business. If you're doing it wrong, she'll shift her hips a little to the left. Like, she knows what she's doing and she knows what she wants. And they're great fun. And everybody should have a girlfriend who's a sexual bungee jumper. But right, you know, most women aren't. Most women aren't. Mm-hmm. Most women find deep sexual pleasure to be, to some degree, scary. Mm-hmm. And by the way, even those women can be taken deeper. You can always take a woman deeper. There's no way a woman can take herself as deeply as a skilled lover can. But the more common experience is somewhere in the middle. And of course, there are some women who won't let themselves have an orgasm at all. It's so scary they won't let themselves have an orgasm. Mm-hmm. And they may fake it. You may not know you've been with those women. And they don't fake it, by the way, out of anything other than their own shame. They feel broken. And they don't want you to feel like, oh, there's something wrong with her, and then not call her for a second date. I mean, women who are faking it are faking it for the, like, if you're a man who has difficulty getting it up during sex, which is common as water, and many, many men, probably all men at some point in their lives, struggle with this. If you have a problem getting it up, and you could fake it, you would. Right? So, and it's the same thing. Like, when a woman's faking it, she's not, you know, she's not being a bitch. She's ashamed, you know, she feels broken. So that's what goes on there. And then the more common thing, and I think a lot of men can relate to, is women who are, you know, either just before they have an orgasm or after they have like one rather shallow orgasm, and then they'll go, wait, stop. Right? Or they'll clench their hips and push you away. Uh-huh. Right? They'll prevent you from further emotion. Maybe if you're going down, she'll push your head away. She'll squirm and push your head away. She can't take any more of that stimulus. Wait, stop. Right? Mm-hmm. And we're all kind of familiar with that limitation that she's putting on how much pleasure she's willing to have. And it doesn't make any sense. As men, we're like, bring it, right? But it is, it's different for women because their capability is different. Their capability of pleasure is different. And it's much, much greater. The way it's designed is that women really experience most of the pleasure, and we experience great appreciation for their pleasure. We get off on it. We love it when they go through it, right? So that's kind of the deal. And of course, you can enhance your own sexual pleasure, but it never really rivals that experience of experiencing her pleasure and knowing that you're kind of at the steering wheel of that.
Right.
So
right.
What happens is, it's for a woman, it's like climbing that first giant hill on the roller coaster. And the thing is towing you up to the top, tick, 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 mm-hmm. tick, and you're getting higher and higher and higher. And it's, you know, you look down the side of the car, you're like, oh, crap, we're going high. And then you look and you're like, oh, we're not even there yet. And you can feel that nervous energy building in your body, click, 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 click. And that's what arousal is like for a woman. Mm-hmm. And when you get all the way to the top and you're kind of like teetering on that edge just before you go plunging down that first drop and scream your head off and get your brains scrambled and your stomach turns upside down and you're laughing your head off and you have the time of your life, right?
Right.
But right in that moment before that all happens, when you're just teetering on that edge, if there were a button you could push that would let you just stop the ride right there, get off, step on an elevator and take a ride down an elevator, a large percentage of people would take that option.
Yeah.
I mean, they just, that nervous energy is just too fucking crazy. And a lot of people would be like, you know what? Change my mind. I mean, a lot of people would. And that's what, stop is. And it may have been after her first orgasm, maybe before her first orgasm.
Right.
You know, but some women, they'll let you make them come, but you know, they won't let you stack that orgasm to the next level. They just can't take that.
Right.
And so you get the hip clench, you know, she clamps her thighs around you, pushes you back. And the gift of the roller coaster is that there is no such button. And the problem with sex is there is that button. She can stop you. She can say stop, right? She can't stop you. And so she stops herself from screaming down the hill, laughing her head off and having the time of her life. Because it's too nerve-wracking, it's too intense. And the way that one brings her over the top is not just through technique, which, you know, we can certainly talk about techniques, but mm-hmm. techniques are like tools like a screwdriver or a wrench. Mm-hmm. And screwdrivers and wrenches are great, you know, but if you don't know what to do with it, if the project at hand is, you know, fixing a fuel injection system, I mean, I don't know anything about a fuel injection system, and you can give me like the full, like professional, badass Ferrari mechanic, amazing, expensive toolkit for fixing carburetors. And it's not going to do me any good. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't, it's going to do no help. Now, on the other hand, you can take a Ferrari mechanic, and without any tools, he's helpless too. So, I mean, the tools are important. I'm not saying that they're of no use, but any fucking idiot can buy the tools. You know, you can read the tools in Cosmo magazine or Maxim. I mean, any idiot can give you the tools. The hard part is knowing how to actually fix fuel injection, you know?
Right.
And so that to me is the more interesting piece. It's the more interesting and fascinating piece. And that piece, where I am right now is in that piece, is something that I call sexual trust. And sexual trust is that ability that a man has to get her to say, you know, this guy's got it. I trust him. I trust him to drive. I'm giving you the keys, you drive, and I'm gonna let him, I trust him enough to let him take me over the top of this roller coaster. I'm looking in his eyes and he says it's okay and I believe him, and so I'm not gonna push the stop button, I'm gonna let him take me over the edge. And so the question is, how do you build sexual trust? Mm-hmm. And the first thing to understand about that is it's not the same thing as trust.
Okay.
And that's why it's possible to do with somebody you just met. You know, you just met her in the bar. She doesn't remember your name and is embarrassed to admit that fact, and yet she can trust you more than her last boyfriend that she was with for 10 years and recently broke up with and never made her come. And yet you can give her the orgasm of her life, even though she just met you, if you know how to build this sexual trust. And what makes it different is, think of it as, I use the same analogy all the time. I use two analogies, either surgeon trust or pilot trust. You can take your pick. You want surgeon trust or pilot trust?
I'll take surgeon.
Okay, surgeon trust. So there's two surgeons. Mm-hmm. And you have a life-threatening condition, and the surgery is a very, very delicate procedure. And survival rate is, you know, not guaranteed. This is not a simple procedure, and people do die on the table in this one. Mm-hmm. And you're interviewing possible surgeons. And the first guy you talk to he's a doll. This is the guy you wish would date your sister. He is just a nice fucking guy. Mm-hmm. You would let him borrow your car. You would feel perfectly comfortable and safe with him, you know, taking out your hot niece if he promised that he wasn't going to touch her. You know he wouldn't. He's a good man.
Right.
He's a good man. He also only recently graduated from medical school, and he's never actually performed this particular surgery before, though he has performed similar ones, you know? Now, the other surgeon is a prick. He really is. I mean, he is so arrogant that you literally want to slap the smug grin off his face. He's a shit. He's a homophobe, a misogynist. He hates black people, talks about that frequently, and he's just a dick. You want to kick him in the balls until he passes out. You've never met a dick like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you would trust him with a fucking nickel.
Right.
But he did actually invent the procedure, mm-hmm. and he's performed hundreds of them. And in fact, even though there's a high mortality rate in the procedure, he's actually never lost a single patient doing it. He's
right.
The chief of staff and highly esteemed, and articles have been written about his near godlike surgical abilities.
Okay.
Who has your surgeon trust?
That dickhead.
Right.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So that's the thing about sexual trust. And it all begins to fall into place for men when they get this thing. It ain't about being nice. It ain't about being trustable in the normal sense. It's about her trusting you sexually. And it's a whole different reality.
Right. So whenever you know, I think that myself included, but I think a lot of guys as well as me are probably wondering the same question right now, and that is, what is the process that you go through in order to do that? I know that you can't, you know, we don't have enough time for you to go through everything, obviously, and we only have time for a very little bit. But if you could sort of toss us a way to know a little bit more about doing that. Like, for example, is it something that you say? Is it something that you do? Is it the way you say things only? Is it a combination of all those things? You know, what is it that shows her, and how do you show her that you are this man? I think that first you need to become this man, personally. I think that you need to know, you have to have the tools, at least have them, because if you don't have them, then you can make her feel like you got them, and then when you get her in bed, she's going to realize you have no idea what you're doing, and then it could really screw things up. So, but before the tools kind of come into play, and we're kind of sitting down in the classroom, like this is driver's ed class, you know, the first half of the class is you sitting down taking notes and passing tests that teachers give you. The second half of the class is going driving and actually getting experience. So before we get behind something that can kill somebody if we misuse it, what do we need to know? I mean, what do I need to know about that?
What I would like to do, and I'm going to try and successfully do right now, is give the highest leverage ideas that a guy can take action on today and really get powerful results in the bedroom. My intention is not to create a tease. I think that we actually can give the guys enough to really create some magic. And so,
right.
The first thing that I would say is it's more what you don't say than what you do. You said, is it something you say? It's more about what you don't say. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you are sexually judgmental, you lose sexual trust. You were saying earlier about how I'm very comfortable with sexual conversation. Mm-hmm. That's a really big thing. If you giggle about anything sexual, something deep inside, primal, connects that to nervousness for her around sexuality.
Right.
We laugh about, if you watch soldiers before deployment, you'll hear them joking and laughing about death. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of men make gay jokes with each other. It's just the boys, you know, what are you, a fag, right? And you know, some of them can be funny and very clever. And a lot of the guys that do it are not really, you know, they have gay men that are friends, but they fear being labeled gay. They actually have fear around it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's funny. If there were no fear, it wouldn't be funny. And she feels that like when you make little jokes about sex, when a sexual thing comes up, And there's a giggle reaction. She feels that.
Right.
You really need to clean that stuff up in your life and really treat sex as kind of a serious subject. The way that Formula One drivers talk about driving. It's a serious subject. Like let her know in the way you carry yourself that sex is a big deal to you, that you take the giving of pleasure pretty fucking seriously. And it's not that you can't joke about it, but you do it in a powerful way. There's no giggle factor to it, you know. There's a real sense that she gets that you command this area. And any time that there's a joke about anal sex or, you know, something that's maybe a little bit outside of her or your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of little joke about you know, a woman who got so turned on she peed on herself, this kind of thing. It's like anytime you get into some little discomfort area, that's where she feels that there's a level in you that has some judgmental, that's not totally comfortable, that there are things, in fact, that she could do that, you know, would end up horribly humiliating.
Right.
So sexual trust, first and foremost, entails that there couldn't possibly be any judgment, because frankly, when she's about to have a bigger orgasm than she's ever allowed herself to experience before, she's now going to surrender to you something bigger than she's ever done, she frankly has no fucking idea what's going to happen.
Right.
She might pee on herself. She damn well might. She doesn't know. She could drool. She's going to make some funny noises. She doesn't know what might happen. She might scream loud enough that somebody's going to dial 911. In fact, she probably will. That's pretty common. And are you the guy who's like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I've had that happen before. I know what to say when the police arrive. It's no big deal. Like, you're just unfucking shakable in the sex department.
Right.
And so it's more about what you don't say. It's more about how you're unreactive to those things. And to accomplish this, to really get that comfort level with sex, to really get that complete non-judgmentalism around sex, requires the work it requires. The thing that's a little tricky is that it all revolves around being totally accepting of your own sexuality. And a lot of men think, oh, yeah, no, I'm totally comfortable with my own sexuality. But you know, it really is the whole thing. It's feeling like comfortable with the way your body looks naked. It's feeling comfortable about your dick size. It's feeling comfortable about the fact that you might feel something sexual happen when a 14-year-old girl passes by or a 13-year-old girl, and you feel like, oh God, I'm a horrible person, because something primal can't be stopped. It's just, you know, it's gonna have inappropriate thoughts or rape fantasy or all the crazy shit that goes on in your head that you wouldn't want anybody to know, to reach a level of comfort with it, to be like, no, it's okay. I mean, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna act out on it. I'm not gonna touch a child. I'm not gonna rape a woman. I'm not gonna act out on the dark parts of my sexuality, but you've got to find a way to be peaceful with it. To right. say, yeah, you know, that's me, primal. That's me. Hmm. That's me. I'm okay. I'm a natural, normal, you know, red-blooded animal.
How do you get to the point where, you know, you don't feel weird for thinking that? You know, I mean, how did you get to that point where you didn't feel like wrong? I mean, I know you just accept, it's really probably just the point of just accepting it really, but even thinking about that from, you know, from my point of view, like all my secret desires as well, just mm-hmm. as a man that I have, I'm sure everyone who's listening and knows exactly, they're probably like, oh, shit, does Alex know exactly what I'm thinking? Is this, you know, is he?
Well, there's a guy out there who's thinking, yeah, that seems pretty normal, but my shit's weird.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's some even, you know, there's guys who want to be shit on. I mean, there's, you know, there's guys who are like, no, but my stuff's weird. And the thing is, maybe, but you got to be cool with it.
Right.
You got to be cool with it. It doesn't mean you have to do it. It just means you got to be cool with it, because in being cool with it, you can be cool with anything. Like, that's the comfort. That's when there's nothing she can pull out that's going to rattle you. And in fact, you know, it's very unlikely that anything that she's going to pull out is going to rattle you. But she doesn't know that, because she thinks her shit's the weird stuff.
Right.
Because she has this recurring fantasy about, you know, four guys who, you know, violently gangbanging her. Now, if it happened in real life, of course, she wouldn't enjoy it. And anybody who, you know, wants to attempt this is just going to jail. So she wouldn't enjoy it in real life. It's like the way boys fantasize about, you know, being in a gunfight. Or right. a sort of, you know, like, you know, kids playing cops and robbers, and, you know, or if you're just playing a, you know, a video game, right? You're playing a video game where you're shooting a bunch of aliens that are coming after you, and it seems fun. But like, when, you know, an alien actually came after you and tried to like kill you, somebody was actually like trying to like, you know, when a real live human who really wants you dead is in, you know, some like a frenzied state, pointing a live ammunition firearm at you, it ain't fun. It's nothing but horrible, right? It's nothing but horrible. It ain't fun anymore. But we can fantasize about it and make it fun. So, you know, women can fantasize about things that aren't fun, but they aren't okay with it. They would never admit it. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, when you're the man that earns her sexual trust, she can admit it, and she can play through it with you. She can play at it with you, and really, really find herself. But you know, you do stuff like that, women fall in love with you. That's more than good sex. That becomes into deep mutual acceptance, and that's not really what we're talking about in this conversation. But
it's totally cool. You know, I'm into that too. You know, this by far, Alex, is the most fascinating conversation I've ever had in an interview. By the way, this is just awesome so far. I'm really, I want to just record our. I mean, I don't know, for my own personal benefit, I want to just sit here and record this conversation and continue.
We're not stopping, are we?
No, we're not stopping yet. No,
okay, good.
No, I know. No, let's keep going. You know, we got another 15-20 minutes. I'd say.
Yeah, I want to just give them a few more ideas about how to build sexual trust.
I want you to give those to me.
That one alone feels a little bit esoteric. And you know, you brought up a fair question, and I don't want to just avoid it. And the fair question was, well, how does a guy get that level of self-acceptance?
Right.
And that's really beyond the scope of this conversation. I mean, first of all, just having the will to is a huge piece, because most guys don't even think that they're acceptable. So I, Alex Allman, expert in this field, I'm telling you, listening to this, it is acceptable for you to accept your sexual weirdness. It ain't weird. It's primal. It's natural. It's okay. That's a big part of the battle, is just give yourself permission to accept it. Then, you know, like, really getting much deeper than that is, that's beyond the scope of the call. But really, right. really just being aware of that, being aware that your ability to just be totally okay with your sexuality, with your body, with your cock, with what you want to stick it into, like, it's all good, man. And if you're good with it and you're that guy, it gives her permission. It's this incredible sense of relief. It's like, oh, thank God, this guy is just, he's actually a man. And it just gives her permission to be comfortable with her weird shit. And that is very, it's just a huge cathartic release for a woman. I mean, she can immediately have more powerful orgasms with you. And it sounds like, well, I mean, you could touch her exactly the same way. You can do exactly the same thing you did yesterday, but do it from this place. She will have a different orgasm. I guarantee you. Okay, next. I know that we don't have a ton of time.
That's okay.
The next thing I would say that's a really high leverage thing is don't try so damn hard to please her. That's it's a little gross. Women don't, you know, don't love that need. It feels needy. It feels, and you know, every guy to some degree who reads my book, you know, How to Blow Our Mind in Bed, right? Any guy that reads my book, obviously, you know, he's pre-wired with the inclination that he wants to be better in bed. That's a problem for sexual trust, you know?
Right.
Like, because there's this sense of, I need to please you. What else can I do for you? What else would make you feel great right now? And if you read the women's magazines, they'll say that's what women want. Oh, if only a man would ask me what I want, if he would just be a good communicator, if he would just be a good communicator and say, honey, you know, what could I do that would please you in bed? Guide me. You know, that's kind of a crock of shit. It's like, it's pretty good dinner conversation, by the way. It's great dinner conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good second date conversation. You know, maybe after you fucked her a few times, it's good dinner conversation, but don't do it in bed, for crying out loud. It'll just destroy all sexual trust. Mm-hmm. You really come across at some level as being needy of her approval. Like, I need to sexually satisfy you because I'm not sure that, like, I'm good enough otherwise. Like, you know, you may be fantasizing about, you know, your last boyfriend who was better in bed than I am, or had a bigger cock than I have, or, you know, like, your need for reassurance that you're doing good. Like, that's something you want to really try and exterminate from your world. And the way you do this is by being a little more selfish in your desire to please her. Like, it's less, like, you want to fucking make her come because it's hot, mm-hmm. you know? It's a different frame. It's a different frame. It's like, you know, when you're touching her, totally focused on how to touch her in such a way that it's going to, you know, give her the perfect orgasm, it feels like you're trying really hard to give her an orgasm. And what that reads in her body is stressful. Like, oh, I'm going to disappoint him if I don't have a big orgasm right now. Right. Now that, like, that's kind of stressful. You know, it's like men who say to their girlfriend, oh, honey, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. It sounds like a nice thing to say, but it's actually kind of a shitty dork thing to say. And women don't like it. They don't like it because it's stressful. It's like, oh, so now I have to be happy because if I'm not happy, you're not happy. You know what I mean? Like generate your own happiness.
Right.
And let me be a moody bitch, because sometimes I want to do that because I have a vagina and sometimes I need to be moody. Like, and again, I'm segueing into relationship stuff, but,
right, right.
but to really not be dependent on her orgasm to feel good, like to really not be needy in that area builds a huge amount of sexual trust. And she feels this. She feels when you touch her because you love putting your hands on her skin. Because that hot body turns you on. That's why you're touching her. You're not trying to get some effect. It's different. Now, if you're trying to get that effect, if you're like, you want to make her come because that's like, you know, that's just more of the delicious treats. That's, you know, putting your hands on her tits. It's not, you know, in order to get her aroused so that good sex can happen. No, it's because you want to touch those tits.
Right.
And that feels, that reads different to her. That your primal lust reads powerfully trustable to her. It makes her relax. It's so relaxing for a woman. And I know that sounds funny, but I've talked to literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women about this, and that's the word they most often use, that when a man really just wants to fucking devour them with his hands. When he touches her out of his own lust, it's relaxing. It's like, oh, I can let my guard down. It's okay. He just wants to fuck me, you know? There's some like it's honest. It's just honest. There's no ploy there. They can let their guard down. They can just relax with a man who's like that.
Right.
And if you think about it, if a woman is giving you a blowjob, and she knows every technique in the book. She's read all the good girl's guide to being bad kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's doing the tongue swirly with the scrotum squeeze and the, you know, gently pulling on the sack while running the tongue up and down. And she's deep throating. She knows every fucking trick in the book. And that can feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it also feels pretty fucking disconnected. And just contrast that to a woman, she just loves your cock. She just can't. She wants that cock. She loves that cock. She deep throats that cock because she wants that cock deep in her. She loves that cock. She just loves it. You know, she can't get enough of it. It's like she doesn't give a shit whether or not you're enjoying it. She wants that cock deeper in her mouth because she loves that cock. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just fucking horny, and that feels better.
Yeah,
that's better. It's like it's. I don't want to sound hippy dippy, but it's an energetic difference.
Right.
You know. Sexual trust is built on really, really being in touch with that. Really, really getting that.
I've had, I'm sure you've had plenty of experiences like this, but I've had, I can think of several where, you know, I had a girl, I didn't have her do this. She just learned, you know, techniques like this, exactly what you're saying, almost like to the T, like exactly that story. She learned these techniques because she wanted to please me in bed, you know?
Yeah, it's annoying.
It was like an invitation to defile her because I was like, well, obviously she doesn't respect herself.
Turned it into something good.
Yeah, no, I was like, she doesn't respect herself at all because she's not doing this for her, you know, and it did not feel good. I was like, well, this is great on paper, but it just isn't like exciting for me in any kind of way. And, but yeah, I was in the same boat. I was like, well, you know, this is. What every guy, the only reason why it was fun is because it's what every guy dreams of, right? So it's like, and the funny thing is I never told anybody, so I never even got that part. I never got to like brag about it or anything. I never really bragged about my lovers or anything like that. And so, you know, I just shut up about it and was like, all right, well, it's working in theory, but it's like communism. I mean, it's great. It's a great idea. It's just, there are some missing parts here that we're not thinking of, you know? And so that was, I had a similar experience like that. And I've had other experiences where girl, you know, like that wasn't the best head I've ever gotten in my life, period. Wasn't even close, you know?
Right.
The best was exactly how you're explaining it. All those experiences that I had where she just needed it, that was exactly what I wanted too. And it's funny that there are very few things where men and women both have the exact same thought process. I mean, there are very, very few of those things. And this is one of them where women just want, you know, it's better if you just enjoy it for yourself and that's what you're going after because you need it and you want it and you really enjoy it. And we do the same thing as men, so we should be able to imagine this, you know. We should be able to go, well, I could imagine that being true for women, you know. But there are a lot of things that women think or go through that we can't even imagine as men. We just don't do that. You know, we don't even know. We don't have that cerebral, I mean, that corpus callosum is too small for us, you know. We can't process that information as quickly. And
but you know what we can do, which I love, and mm-hmm. you know, we can experience it through them. And it's just, you know, it's just one of the reasons I just fucking love women, man. I love the weird shit that they do, and you know, the obvious one being the stacked multiple orgasm. You know, really just witnessing it, letting, you know, having permission to share that. But all of it, you know, their weird mood swings. I've kind of learned to appreciate all of it. I like the way they curl their legs up under themselves when they're sitting on a car seat, you know, just everything about them and the weird emotions that they experience. And it's just, it's beautiful to be able to experience it through them.
Right. That is exactly the point that I came to too with women, where I was just like, I just loved that experience of being able to see someone that is that feminine. And, you know, again, I'm not into getting too hippie. What did you call it? Hippy dippy?
Maybe.
I'm not interested in doing that either. I'm a pretty scientific guy, especially when it comes to teaching, you know. But at the same time, I have no other way of putting this. I mean, the truth is that whenever I just sort of drink that in, and I just appreciate that. I've gotten much better responses, not just, you know, during the seduction phases of an interaction, which I know that come at different times for different women in different interactions, you know, for different guys and different women. But during the seduction phases where we're starting to trust enough to be open sexually, you know, once our social barriers are sort of beaten down and we've gotten past all the hard crap, all the fake stuff in the interaction, we're getting down to the real stuff. The seductive part of all that, if you don't have this frame of mind, you will never get a girl to come back to your apartment. It's not going to happen. You know, or if you do, it'll be awkward, and she'll have second thoughts. And you know, there's some guys who teach like, oh, how to get around a girl's resistance. No, she shouldn't fucking be resisting in the first place. You know,
if you get the sexual trust thing dialed in, you'll never have resistance.
Right. And I was kind of blown away by a lot of guys who had that problem. Because I had it when I was much younger, but I was too bad with women to really know that it was a problem in the first place. But you know, once I started studying, this was probably one of the first things that I got into, was just really appreciating women like that. And I think that, I don't know, I think that for me, the guys that hear me speak and everything buy into that and feel that from me. I think that the guys who hear you speak and follow you, buy into yours too. And I think that that's one of the reasons why they follow us in the first place, is because they trust us, because we're saying things that actually helps. Like, you know, you can't, like, do you know who Michael Fiore is?
Sure, yeah.
So Michael Fiore had an interview with me kind of recently about texting women. And one of his things was like, you know, he had one thing where he was talking about getting a blowjob, you know. And he said he had a guys who would be like, oh, you know, I don't want to go down on her, but I want her to go down on me. And his response was, well, fuck you then. You know, you just need somebody to say that to you sometimes. You need another guy to go, no, man, that's not how it works. Just forget that concept. You know, you have to appreciate a lot. You have to really like this and really enjoy it. And, you know, his whole concept was like, oh, you want her to be subservient? Well, then fucking buy her, you know, buy a woman if you want her to be subservient, because that's what you're doing. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about mastery. And so it's really cool to, I mean, I think that concept is really echoed a lot.
So I want to just say, first of all, that sure, that I really like Mike Fiore a lot. Yeah. And I like his programs a lot.
Right.
You know, I've reviewed his programs for my guys and recommended them. I think he's terrific. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's a less sophisticated conversation though.
Yeah.
I mean, not everything I talk about is, we jump straight to the advanced stuff. I mean, yeah, we didn't really cover the basics, but you know, it's less sophisticated, but there is one little piece that I want to make sure that I don't leave unsaid, which is, So let's say there's a guy out there that doesn't like going down on chicks. Mm-hmm. The, well, then fuck you is, it's not quite the right answer, because it really, you know, most men, really love going down on women who are, you know, properly bathed and
sanitary.
It's I mean, it's a beautiful experience, and it's a huge turn on. Now, if you don't like it though, that doesn't mean you're wrong or broken or weird, because it goes back again. I mean, we're retreading into an area where you could break sexual trust by not being okay with you. I mean, if you're a guy that doesn't like going down on women and you still want blowjobs, I think that's totally okay.
Right.
I think that's totally okay. Now, she might not be all that happy about that, and that's going to be something you're going to have to figure out, you know? But at the same time, just like doing it for her sake is a bit nauseating. Just like, oh, you need to do it because if you want her to do it for you, then you have to do it for her. I don't buy into that, man. I do not buy into that. And I get why Mike said it.
Right.
And I'm not trying to badmouth him. I like Mike. Mm-hmm. But that's not quite right.
Yeah, that was a very, very broad statement. And I think it's really, you have a really good point there. And I'm glad that you said that, because
like, everything is okay in sex. You know, like some men really, really like other men. That's what they like. It's okay.
Right.
You don't have to. You know, it's not for you to like other men. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't care if you're gay or straight, but be okay with whatever you are. That's fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
That's fundamental.
Right. So I think that's really, first off, very powerful, and holds true to everything we just talked about, which is fantastic. And I, And I'm glad actually that you didn't let that sort of fly out without making that disclaimer. That's really, really good, because when we originally had that conversation with Michael, it was like, you know, this fast, always like,
yeah, he's that, funny.
Yeah. So, so we just flew past it and we didn't get that disclaimer either. So that's a really, really important, thing that needed to be said.
It's important to this subject. I mean, if somebody who's following along with this and it's their intention, like we kind of skipped, like we could have had this entire conversation could have been about how to give a girl an orgasm, you know, just the simplest way. And we could have just gone to some very simple techniques, you know? But we didn't. We said, okay, how to give her the biggest orgasm of her life. I mean, we kind of skipped to the advanced stuff, you know what I mean? And for a guy who's following along, you know, he's already comfortable. He knows where the clitoris is. He knows where the G-spot is. He understands all that stuff. You know, he's given a woman an orgasm a time or two, and he's really following along with this stuff. Like that thread could put a monkey wrench into what we're doing here.
Right.
So I want to make sure they get this, because this is kind of big stuff. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to tangent retrieval. I'm going to give just like two more kind of quickies to build sexual trust, because I really want to give them a package that they can work with. And so confidence, sexual confidence.
Before you jump into confidence, can I just interject?
Yep.
I just want to say that I love how everything you say is in some form a sexual innuendo. Like, like you just want to give them a quickie. The dark hallway. I mean, your man runs down the dark hallway and drops off his package. Like, it just went just so awesome. I was thinking about that while you were talking about it. This sounds like anal sex. That's what it sounds like right now. I'm just like, it was just so awesome. I love it. I really do. I'm not fucking with you right now. I really do love that.
And I'm totally unaware that I'm doing what you're
doing. I know, which is what...
One Freudian slip.
That's one of the best things about it, is that I know this is just how you talk. But I can imagine a woman hearing you talk about things like eating a hamburger, and she's just like drooling, even though she's a vegetarian, because the things that you're saying are just so sexual in nature. It's just awesome. So I appreciate that, Alex. Anyway, the confidence. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, confidence is a big one. And if you go back to the surgeon again, if you never looked at their resume and you just looked in their eyes, you might have a sense that the cocky son of a bitch. You might have a sense from him, if he's actually performed 200 of them, that he knows what he's doing. He's not scared. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at it, he's confident. Like, being confident that you know how to give her the orgasm of her life and not freak out. Like, just, you know. And she knows you know. And it's just done and done. Like, she can feel your confidence on the issue. Part of what creates that confidence is the honest to God, knowing that you can, like, actually having the goods. I mean, that confidence comes from actual, you know, I've given women the orgasm of their lives on many occasions, and it's easy to be confident, right? I've had the external validation. It's easy to be internally validated. So that's one. Fake it till you make it works a bit here, by the way. And the other things we talked about, like being okay with your own sexuality, you really can't fake that. Women will catch little tells that you, I mean, little facial expressions, the way you scratch your ear. I mean, women are like ridiculously good at picking up on those insecurities. But this kind of confidence, like, no, babe, I know what I'm doing here. You can kind of get away with faking this a little bit. You can fake it till you make it. Part of it comes from release of attachment. Mm-hmm. Like she has the feeling that you are going to do whatever it takes, anything it takes. You're going to go through extravagant measures to make her come like she has never come before. Like, you are there to play big. You are going to explode her little body, because that's what gives you pleasure. Like, you're going to do, you know, like, she has that feeling, but with it, you're totally unattached. Like, there's no pressure. Like, if she doesn't come, you don't give a shit, because you already know you're good. You know you can make, you've made the last 200 girls come, so you know you're good. You have no attachment. If she doesn't come, you're not going to pout. You're not going to go, did you come yet? Did you come yet? There's no pressure on it. You're detached from outcome.
Right.
Powerfully, powerfully relaxing to her. These things, this confidence and release from outcome, and these other factors that create this kind of trust, are the things that allow her to trust you enough to say, okay, I'm not going to push that button and stop the roller coaster. I'm going to do what you say I should do. I get that in this sex arena, you're more powerful than I am, and I'm going to just go with your lead. Mm-hmm. That it's that surrender that you're looking for. The final piece I want to give, because it's just so easy and quick, is also the she's going to reference the last time you fucked her. Let's just assume for the minute it's, this isn't the first time. How you react to her orgasm, how you react to, like, if you give her a really intense orgasm, the kind we're talking about, she's going to cry afterwards. She may laugh hysterically in kind of an insane way that she can't stop. That's not uncommon, but more common is she's going to cry, and she's going to sob and cry like she's at her mother's funeral. Like, she's not going to be able to stop. And you being totally okay with that and not going, what's wrong? Because that incepts the idea of wrong in her head, and just being totally calm, just like it's no big deal, like you've seen it 100 times before, and just being gentle with her, stroking her hair, giving her a little smile, no big deal. Like, you having that frame for whatever happens, you know, I mean, if she farts, if she drools, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. If she comes, if she doesn't come, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's like if the first time you're with her, she's almost there, and then she never comes, and you're just totally unbothered by it, and you're not like interrogating her afterwards, what else should I have done? And you're just like, babe, you did good. You were beautiful. You really turned me on. You were good. You were wonderful. You're a good girl. Like letting her know you're satisfied with her, like that also builds powerful, powerful sexual trust. Next time, you're much more likely to get that surrender from her.
Right. So I think that the so what you're touching on sort of right now is the you know, what to do right after, especially because it is going to be kind of nuts and everything. I think that of course, in order to learn how to actually, you know, it's if we keep doing the same things and we have the confidence and we're all there and like we're going to give this crazy amazing orgasm as men, you know, I think that it's not going to excuse if you don't know what a vagina is, you know, obviously.
Right. Well, like I said, you need the tools.
Right. Exactly. And that's what sort of wanted to. I know that we like I said, that's the tools are kind of come a little bit later, and I'm fully on board with you on this. So I really love everything that you've said during this interview. It's been amazing. And if a guy does want to get a hold of some of the tools, I know that you have just piles of, you have a garage full of tools in your product. And I wanted you to just, if you could just, you know, talk to us a little bit about what it is and what you've put together. Because I know that if David D'Angelo pushed you because of this sort of knowledge, which is very apparent, anybody who's listening right now, I'm sure they know why someone like myself and someone like David D'Angelo and literally hundreds of other people who are professionals in this agree that that this is something that you needed to write specifically, Alex. Could you tell them a little bit about what's in it so that they can get a copy, just straight up, just so they can get it and have those tools?
Just to clarify, I'm talking tools, or I'm talking how to get my stuff. What am I talking about right now?
Well, if you could just, you don't need to go over all the tools, obviously, because there's a pile of them. But a little bit about what's in it, you know, and then how we can. I'll have a link below this interview that they can use to get a copy of what you put together. But I'd really like it if I could hear it from sort of the horse's mouth, what it is that's in it, and what sort of results they're going to get after reading it.
The pitch, you mean?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you want to call it the pitch.
Right. Well, okay, sure. basically, I guess the place to start is with my ebook, Revolutionary Sex. It's very, very complete. It's completely complete, in fact. I've got some more specialized programs, but Revolutionary Sex is kind of a piece that I'm super, super proud of. It's had amazing results for a lot of people. It's basically divided into three components. The first component is about you and walks you through all the things you need to have sexual mastery of yourself. So that's things like performance anxiety, you know, men who have trouble getting it up. It's every man has probably experienced this at some point in their life. There's probably men who's never experienced it. Probably many of them. I haven't actually talked to any of them, though. It just seems like it's a very, very common experience. And it could be because you're new, or because you recently got out of a relationship where, you know, she cheated on you and made you feel sexually small. And, you know, so you're going through that period now. for some men, it's when they get older and it takes them a little bit longer to get an erection. And so they get nervous that she's going to freak out by, sometimes she does freak out, and that then suddenly the next thing, you know, you can't get it up. So, you know, you need to have control over your erection, obviously. That's, if you can't get hard, then, you know, while you can still give her the orgasm of her life with your little finger, there's something about intercourse, like actually being able to be inside of her it's irreplaceable. Irreplaceable. So really having command over your erection is important. Having command over your ejaculation is important. So I cover that, you know, how long it takes you to come. You should be choiceful about that. You know, right. Sometimes you want to come fast. Great. Sometimes you don't want to come fast. Great. You need to be the guy who's in charge of that, not the other way around. It's like you don't belong to your cock belongs to you. So basically understanding your own body and that kind of stuff. So that's sort of the first part of the book. It goes a little bit deeper than that, but sort of the two main features. The second part is all about her, and it's her anatomy, the erogenous zones on a woman, what really makes a woman come. I mean, there's just some really, there's sort of a specific little map to sort of understanding how to play that little game, to play that instrument. There are little waypoints along the way, from arousal to, you know, bringing her to the point where she's about to come, to teasing or not teasing, and, you know, when sometimes you want to throw her down and sometimes you want to take your time, and there's a time and a place for both of those things, and how to really read her body and understand by reading her body and not by just going by some, you know, technique in a book, which frankly, every technique you'll ever read in an article or in a book was what worked on that guy's girlfriend. And if it's written by a woman, it's worse. It's just what works on her. And the odds that if it worked on her, it's going to work on your woman, the odds are small. I mean, women come in an unbelievable variety of sexual preferences, and they change every goddamn day, you know, because they're mood switches. So, you know, a woman can tell you, like, I like a slow seduction and a man who knows how to take his time. I like to kiss for hours. You know, that same woman, you know, you catch her three nights later and that kind of guy is going to bore the tits off her. Like, she just wants you to, you know, push her up against the wall, tear her panties off and get that cock inside of her. Mm-hmm. And you need to read that. You just, so the her portion of the book is really about how to read her and how to understand all of her anatomy, so that you get what to touch, how to touch it, and what variety is possible, and when she wants you to play classical, and when she wants you to play rock and roll. Like, it's you're not always in the mood for the same music. You just really need to get this on a deep level, because if you don't get that, you're just never going to get lovemaking. So so that's what the whole second part of the book is devoted to, and then the third part of the book is called Together, and it's all about how to sexual trust. A lot of the stuff we just talked about is in that final portion of the book. Sexual trust, how to build deep intimacy, deep sexual surrender, holding sexual space, and really also for the men that are interested, making that transition between sex and lovemaking, and really getting into the deep possibility of intimacy and communication that can happen wordlessly in deep lovemaking. I get into fantasies and fetishes and just all the things that you can play with from a position of curiosity, of really getting to know the other person and accept the other person. And it's a fucking beautiful book. I got to be honest with you, man. I just completed the third edition of it, and laid down an audio version of it as well. And sitting in a room, you know, in a recording studio, reading this whole thing out, it's a beautiful fucking book. I'm goddamn proud of it. It's a really, really good piece. And how to initiate sex without ever being rejected is an included bonus right now. I may pull that off at some point, so they may want to grab it for that.
Oh, yeah.
And I also included something called Alex's Edge, which is an audio recording that I made with our friend Susan Bratton. And I discussed some of the most advanced things that are kind of at my own edge, the stuff that I'm playing with in my own relationships, and so some more advanced concepts that, you know, if you haven't read the book, like, you can listen to that and go, oh yeah, I do that, but like it's actually, it won't make any sense to you whatsoever until after you've read the book. So And I not only read the book, but like actually experienced it. Like, I think you actually need to create, like, the first time you get a woman to completely surrender to you, completely surrender, and you know, make her come until she actually passes out, mm-hmm. And then she comes to and cries for an hour straight. Like, when you get to that place, you understand that it's like somebody can tell you how to parallel park 100 times, but until you actually parallel park, you don't really get it. You know, you kind of have to do it, and then you get it. And so after you do it and you get it, you listen to this recording.
Right. Yeah.
It's the next level.
It's the advanced stuff after that.
Yeah. So that's the pitch. That's the pitch. That's what the program is.
Well, I think that, you know, for me, I've seen it. I haven't seen the new edition, so I'm really excited.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
I'll send it to you, and it's fantastic.
I'd love to share. I need to definitely get a copy of it and check it out. I think that no matter what skill level you operate currently, I think that if you think you know enough about sex, then you don't know enough about sex. That's typically how it is, you know. Yeah. And I definitely don't think that I know enough about it. I love it. I love the concepts. And what we talked about so far today was so just fucking right on that. That I really, really want to see the new edition, because I can't imagine that the old one got any better. I'm just like blown away, you know. So
yeah, no, honestly, the old one was 5 years old. I've changed my mind about some things. Like, no, that was right. That was wrong. You know, I may change my mind again. I mean, you know, it's like you said, you never get to the bottom of this. Never get to the bottom of this. Or there were things that I thought I understood, like the general case, but really I only understood the specific case, that there was a meta perspective. There was something bigger that now I get. And I'm like, oh, that's why that works. And, you know, gives her an orgasm. It's not because that, it's because of something bigger. And then like, as my own understanding deepens, I occasionally have to rewrite the book. So I just rewrote it, and it's not hugely different, but it's important. The differences are important.
Right.
And I think it's a great, well, you know, thousands and thousands of couples can't be wrong. It's terrific. I know I sound arrogant, but God damn it.
No, man, you're allowed to be. I mean, that's
having just gone through it, I'm proud of it.
So. I bet the research was grueling. Oh, I can't even imagine how terrible that was for you. Jeez, you know. Oh, I just learned new stuff, so I got to rewrite the book. Oh, that means you just got laid a bunch. Great. Alex, again, it's been an honor, is what it has been for me, to sit down and talk to you about this. I'm really, really excited about releasing this to the guys, and anybody who wants to get a copy, grab it, because you know, the bonuses that Alex did out on, I know him, he will take them off whenever it's time to take them off. So grab them now as soon as you can, and check it out, man. I mean, if you grab it, open it up, and if you don't learn one thing, I will give you all your money back. I'm just kidding.
No, but no. I will.
Yeah. Alex will. No, but yeah. I mean, I'm confident. I'm standing behind this, and I don't always stand behind people. When I interview them, I really interview to assess who they are, you know. And Alex, I really appreciate this, and I again, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to you about it in the first place. So thank you very much for taking
Likewise,
your time.
Likewise, Josh. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Awesome, man. All right, you have a good day, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know what's up with me. If I have any questions, I'll give you a buzz.
All right, excellent. Peace.
All right, thanks, Alex.